the brilliant gold and blue vaulted ceiling of Santa Maria Sopra Minerva, the leader of the world's Anglican Communion and the head of the Vatican's Council for Christian Unity spoke of the urgent need to go beyond mutual friendships to a deeper sharing of spiritual, theological and liturgical gifts. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, and the President of the Pontifical Council, Cardinal Walter Casper, were presiding at Vespers in the Rome Basilica on Wednesday for the installation of a new director of the Anglican Centre, Reverend David Richardson, former Dean of the Anglican Cathedral in Melbourne, Australia. The centre, located in Palazzo Doria Pamphili, was set up by Pope Paul VI and the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael Ramsay, just after the closing of the Second Vatican Council.
The Anglican Centre was inaugurated during the course of the great visit of the Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Michael Ramsay, to the Holy See in March of 1966.
In his welcome address, Cardinal Casper recalled that 42 years ago, despite the serious obstacles in the way of unity, those Anglican and Catholic leaders were of one mind in seeking to promote closer contacts and deeper understanding between Christians of their different churches. After many steps forward and one or two steps back, he stressed there is still much work to be done in the search for unity which the Holy Spirit brings about in our midst. At the end of the celebration, I asked Cardinal Casper what message he had for the new director, David, and his wife, Margie.
First of all, I'm very happy to have here a new director because this Anglican Centre is very much important for us as a reference point and a good meeting point with the Anglican Communion and the Archbishop of Canterbury. And I have a very good impression from him and his wife, which is with him. And we hope we can collaborate and we can also make some contribution to overcome some inner problems in the Anglican Communion. And then after the Lambeth Conference in July, August, we hope we are able to continue our Archbishop dialogue. We are with the Archbishop of Canterbury to help him and to keep the Anglican Communion together, whether it is possible or not. It's not in our hands and it's also not in the hands of the Archbishop, but we work and we pray with them and that it may be possible to keep together, because we are not interested in new fractions and new divisions. This is not helpful. But I will be present in the Lambeth Conference for some days and we'll see what we can do, but I think it will also strengthen our bonds of friendship.
Archbishop Williams talked about going beyond the friendship. He talked about a real sharing of our gifts for each other. What do you understand by that?
Well, the sharing the gifts is a definition of John Paul II of the ecumenical dialogue. He said ecumenical dialogue is not only sharing of ideas, but sharing of gifts. It means we can learn from each other, and in learning from each other, we come closer to each other. I came back last afternoon from Oxford, and the Evening Song, and a marvelous Evening Song in St. Madeleine College. And I think maybe our Catholic brothers in England can learn a lot from this high culture of worship, because they're often a little bit poor in liturgical culture. They can learn from it. And perhaps the Anglicans can learn something from us that autonomy is a good thing, but it must be linked also with solidarity and communality between the provinces on a universal level. And I think this is now the project of the Archbishop, to strengthen this bonds of universal communality, and it needs also some institutional regulations, otherwise it doesn't function in our earthly world.
Cardinal Walter Casper, President of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of Christian Unity. In his homily at Vespers, the Archbishop of Canterbury said the task of the new director of the Anglican Centre in Rome is to discern where and how we can best put those gifts at the service of others, so that together we can bear witness to the unlimited generosity of the crucified Christ. I asked Dr. Williams how much these ecumenical considerations will play a part at the upcoming Lambeth Conference.
I think it's going to be a very serious consideration. I know that from the point of view of a lot of people here, what happens at Lambeth will help to shape how they understand the future of our relationship, what happens about the future of Archic, for example. As is often said, they need to know who they're talking to. And so we have, I think, a real obligation to be as clear as we can about what our hopes are for the communion. So, yes, the ecumenical dimension is crucial because it's a matter of our capacity to speak, I would say, honestly and coherently to other churches.
Over the past 40 years, the Anglican-Catholic theological dialogues have made much progress in overcoming the bitter divisions of previous centuries, with joint statements and declarations on the Eucharist, Scripture, ministry, authority, and Marian issues. But what about the new challenges that have arisen in the ecumenical movement over recent years? A question I put to the new director of the Anglican Centre, Dean David Richardson.
I think the ecumenical picture everywhere has some similarities at the moment, which means that probably some of the gung-ho energy of a few years back has gone, but what that left were quite deep, committed relationships at the local level. And I think there's a lacuna in theological work about what the theology of those small local energies is about, because I think that, yes, ecumenism, clearly, if there's going to be what we talk about as moving towards visible unity, there clearly has to be a top-down dimension to that, but ecumenism from the bottom up is alive and well, and as I say, it's not happening perhaps with the excitement and energy that it was when I was first studying theology and being ordained and so on. But it's become second nature, I think, to many, many Christians and ordained people and lay people now. Communities of the faithful study together, pray together. It would not be fair to say they communicate together because they probably don't and may not be allowed to. But they do a lot of things together and would feel it very odd if they didn't and couldn't.
It's given rise to a certain degree of frustration, hasn't it, this moving further, if you like, on the local level than at the top level. Are you hoping to be able to bring some of that energy, as you describe it, to bear here at the Holy See?
What energy I can bring to the Holy See remains for me to discover. Probably the massive theological questions aren't going to go away anytime soon. Either the questions that are within our communion or the questions that divide our communions. But as greater theologians than I have averred, we are much stronger in what we affirm than in what we deny. And in what we affirm, I would like to explore human relationships with people from other traditions.
Parish priest, wasn't he? When did you first feel this vocation to follow in his footsteps, as it were?
He was a parish priest, and I remember going and saying evening prayer with my father when I was quite a small boy. So I think liturgy, worship, was always something that attracted me, and I suppose therefore the seeds of vocation were sown quite young, although it wasn't clear that they were going to bear fruit at any stage until I was coming to the end of my first degree, and then I thought I needed to lay a few ghosts.
You say you were serving in Australia, you were Dean of Melbourne Cathedral, before that Dean in Adelaide Cathedral. Just explain to us a little bit what this entails. It's kind of sometimes difficult for Catholics to understand this different, very Anglican terminology.
Yes, it's interesting because in Melbourne, for example, the priest who runs the Roman Catholic Cathedral is also called a dean, and whether that's unusual in Catholic terminology, I don't know, but he is certainly the dean of St Patrick's Cathedral, Melbourne, although he's certainly not a dean in the way that an Anglican dean is a dean. The dean of a cathedral is the senior priest of the cathedral, and in Melbourne, the job is described as being the chief pastor of the cathedral and the chief teacher and preacher from the cathedral pulpit. So the dean is responsible for the administration, management, pastoral care of the cathedral, and relating the cathedral to the city and the diocese, and relating the work of the cathedral ecumenically, and seeing the needs of the people of the city, the poor and the very rich, and trying to meet them.
There's often a lot of scepticism about the future of the Anglican communion itself. We're looking ahead to Lambeth, particularly the Lambeth Conference. Many are rather gloomily predicting the end of the Anglican communion as we know it over these issues of homosexuality and moral ethical issues. What's your view on that?
I don't see that as being likely at all. We are still in communion with each other. There has been no real split within the church. Yes, there are differences of opinion. Differences of opinion exist in every family. Robust argument is what keeps the world going round, I think. And I think that the fearful thing is when we say, no, we can't have robust argument, we must all conform and be uniform, then I think the ecumenical discussion has died, because we are conforming to a kind of plastic cutout of what a Christian looks like, whereas in fact God made us to be exciting individuals who will have energy. And if we're going to have energy, we're going to have disagreements, and some people are going to say it's much better that we come out and be honest about our failures, and others will say no, let's be quiet about that and explore what that might mean. I think the discussion's a lively and active and good thing. I say that, but then the reality is I hate conflict of any sort, and so we'll run away from it like the Dickens. But in my head, I believe that healthy, robust discussion is what we must encourage and foster.
As your new role here as director of the Anglican Centre, you'll be meeting with Pope Benedict, won't you? What sort of message are you going to take to him personally? What would you like to say to him?
I'd like to listen to him, really. I feel the same about the Archbishop. I have this dual role here, which is called the representative of the Archbishop of Canterbury to the Holy See and director of the Anglican Centre in Rome. I think that Archbishop Rowan and His Holiness are people from whom all of us have so much to learn that I don't intend to tell the Pope anything in the short term. I'm hoping to listen to him and explore with him what I may be able to be as representing the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Anglican Communion here in what is clearly not a very Anglican spot.
What do you see as the biggest challenges, perhaps? Maybe you've just mentioned one of them.
People to whom I've talked ever since it's been announced have said it's a very hard job you're going to, and it's a very difficult time to be going to it. And I mean, clearly it is, and the questions you've already asked about the future of Anglicanism and the fact that because Anglicans have done certain things within their own communion, they've hampered the road or the discussions along the road. The road is still there. The discussions may be not quite as fruitful as they were, but they're still happening and the road's still there. And so what the huge challenges in my job are, I suspect that trying to encourage the discussions along the road to be fruitful is part of it, and listening to how that might be encouraged is, I think, what I see my job as being.
My thanks there to the new director of Rome's Anglican Centre, Dean David Richardson, who was installed in his new job during the celebration of Vespers on Wednesday in the Rome Basilica of Santa Maria Sopra Minerva.